What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Developing Leaders in Sports Medicine. So Developing Leaders in Sports Medicine with your student athletic training program. Recently, I've talked to Chris Shattuck. I talked to Allen ISD, where they have 55 student athletic trainer aid helpers, and then Johnny Gomez. And one of the things that they said is they create ownership and develop consistency in their program, and that's why they consistently build programs. So I've got some people who are experts in developing leadership. Kathy Shupa from, she actually works here in Pasadena ISD now. She's been with Houston Methodist Hospital for quite a while, working here in the Houston area. And then John Seco, no stranger to the podcast as well. So John, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
Thanks for coming in today.
Yep.
I am your host, Jeremy Jackson. This episode will be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/studentleaders. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/studentleaders. And then we're going to get right to it. All right. So, John, I'm going to start with you. How do you define leader?
That's a very, I guess, broad question. You know, I think a leader is somebody who inspires confidence in the people they work with, somebody who communicates well, and I wouldn't say expert, but somebody who continuously works on building relationships, not only the people they work with, their subordinates, but the community around them too. So not just the student athletes, not just the student leaders, the coaches, administration, but parents, community investors, things like that. So people who are aware of the community and work well, and like I said, communicate, relationships, and inspire.
Very good, Kathy. What would you like to?
Well, that's spot on. And you know, I've always said that a leader is somebody who helps others succeed. And every student that passes through our doors and as an aide, student athletic trainer, has the ability to become a leader. And it's our job to help them find the potential. And I'm anxious to hear what John has to say, because we can all learn from each other. We can all learn from each other to help those students.
Yeah, that's actually where I want to kind of go next. Is for us to be a leader, we have to at some point either had a really good leader or had a really bad leader and learn from it. So it's kind of the same as me as a parent. I'm either going to do what my parents did or do something different, and then I'm going to continue to learn and change. So Kathy, tell me some about the leaders that you have worked with and for.
Well, you make a very good point. Mentorship is important not only for us as adults, but for our children and for our our students as well. Some of the great mentors that I've worked with, Sandy Miller, who was a district director here in District 6, was a great leader and still is a great mentor for me. Dr. Bobby Patton, who was at program coordinator when I was at Southwest Texas, which is now Texas State University, as an undergrad, and my peers. You know, I served on different boards here in District 6, and they still continue to be sounding boards for me, Mike Carroll and David Traylor, Mitzi Laughlin and Dan O'Connor. You know, you need to have somebody holds you accountable. But I think the greatest thing would probably be my parents as well. And as y'all know, my dad was a state official here in Texas. So I learned at home leadership, but reading, you know, reading, I think, is the most important thing you can do. And when I had the opportunity to be in various leadership roles, is I read a lot to see how other people learn to lead. So I still continue to read because, you know, we don't know it all. I apologize for my voice today.
I think you hit on a kind of a huge point right there, is reading. Reading and continuously learning. People who I think want to be leaders or find themselves in a leadership role, you have to continuously put yourself in the position that you're going to have to read and learn and understand that you're always going to be a lifelong learner. Because if you say you're a learner and you know everything, if you say you're a leader and you know everything, you're definitely not a leader. It's a process. It's a practice. So
one of the, I do this podcast so that I can help improve athletic training, but there's obviously, if every week I'm talking to somebody, talking about a different subject or something I'm interested in, I'm continually learning. And, you know, last week or the week before or whatever it was, I admitted that, you know, part of the problem of my student program, I think, is my leadership. I think I've been focused on other things and have just kind of been letting it ride rather than intentionally leading my student program. And I haven't ever had any sort of program or curriculum or anything, any plan in place to develop those students into leaders rather than just kind of see who emerges and give them responsibility. And so that's one of the things I'm looking for is how can I intentionally develop those leaders. John, tell me a little bit about some of the leaders that you've followed. Just, you know, mention them by name, give them a pat on the back here.
Yeah. I mean, it starts off early in my education. You know, even if we go back, you know, like Kathy said, my parents, huge inspirations for me. And, you know, my mom has been an educator her whole life. My dad is a retired military. So, you know, you see that aspect through his whole life is his self-discipline. You know, I always questioned it when I was a kid. Why do we have to get up on Saturdays and do stuff in the yard? And why did I have to learn how to fix my car? But it was those little things that built the discipline within me, you know, that I'm able to be, at least I feel, a little bit more of a leader. You know, you go into high school, we had certain teachers. You know, Mr. Davis is one of them. I still actually talk with him. I see him every once in a while. Younger guy, I kind of gravitated to him. You know, he's a person that first really believed in me when it comes to athletics. You know, he wanted me to step up in certain roles as a captain, as somebody that other kids looked up to. You know, and that just built confidence with myself. So when I got to college, Tim Caberna was our head athletic trainer. He's now the athletic trainer out at Hope College. And then in my career, the first person I worked for was Tom Ford. And Tom showed me and continuously shows me to have gratitude with everything that I do. I remember early in my career working with Tom, almost every single day we would leave and he would always thank me for being there. And I didn't really get it at the time. I was just like, why does he keep thanking me every single day that I'm there? You know, and I realized, you know, he just had gratitude, you know, and you look back in his career when he was at Oakland, he had gone almost 20 years without anybody working there. And that's, you know, Division II, Division I. So to realize that he had somebody just extra hands, he was extremely grateful for that. So, you know, that showed me to have tremendous gratitude. You know, so those are the people that really inspired me. Those are the good leaders. We talked a little bit about reading. There was a book I had just finished, just a great book. A guy outlines actually 9 different types of bad leaders. And he said, it's actually not a bad thing to have bad leaders because you learn those habits and learn to stay away from those habits. So, it's not always a bad thing to have a bad leader, but if you're able to take the bad from them and learn and adjust and change those things, that actually makes you a little bit better leader going forward.
Did you say the name of that book?
It's called How to Lead. It's by Hal Moore, who is, I think, Lieutenant General Hal Moore. He just passed away about a year ago. But he is the person who led the first battle into the Vietnam War. It's a simple book. It's about 150 pages. He outlines actually very simply core principles, different things. I luckily just picked up that book about a week ago and I wasn't able to put it down. I figured what a great, great book to read right leading into this podcast. You know, I picked up another book, Extreme Ownership, which I know a handful of people on the forum have gravitated to. I thought that was just one of the best books I've ever read, you know, especially as athletic trainers, people in athletics, awesome, awesome books to read.
All right. So we've got a lot of good examples in that both of you talked about some of the qualities that you have seen in a good leadership, someone that was thankful, that had gratitude, that was positive, that set a bad example. Those are definitely the things you lead. And I talk about it. I, as a parent, have failed. One of my children, like if I get upset and I have a really stern voice or I even yell at him, then it all caves in. So he was yelling back and like throwing fits. And then I turn around and I look at that at me because I was doing that to him. So that's what he saw and that's what he mimicked. And so then I realized, hey, I can't treat him that way. I can't do that because it's not good for him for his whole life. And it just ruins the relationship. And And as I'm learning, I do that less. I'm slower to become angry, quicker to listen and get down on his level and speak to him in words he can understand. And so by failing, I'm learning and continuing to move. Kathy, you've been the president of GHATS. You've had some other leadership roles here in athletic training here in Texas. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you think you did well as a leader.
Well, I'm glad there's nobody here that can dispute that for right now. I think the important thing is, remember, you're dealing with volunteers, and you have to value their time. And I always tried to make sure that our board meetings were short. And forgive me, I'm about to cough. Forgive me. You make sure that when you have volunteers that you get to know them and you find out what their passion is. And make sure you have them in the right places. You know, why are they volunteering? How can they help the organization? And that was the biggest thing, because you don't want them to lose interest. And the same thing with your student aides. You know, why do they want to be a student aide? Because everybody has a way to contribute. And I think gratitude, as John said, is very important. You know, get to know the people and set realistic expectations for them. Show gratitude, and people are willing to serve if they know what the expectations are, why they're doing it, and they can feel they're really contributing.
All right, John, let's go back to you some more. What if you are going to be selecting a leader, whether it be in your sports team or with your sports medicine program or any of the other things that you're involved with, what are you going to look for? Like, if you're going to step back and say, you know, I'm going to observe for a week or I'm going to observe for 2 weeks, what are you looking for?
You know, I'm in a little bit different position where I actually don't have a student athletic training program. I have interns coming in from Central Michigan each semester. So when I'm looking at those types of interns, I'm actually looking for the leaders within them. And I think one of the bigger things when I go and I sit through interviews and when I have them come in and we discuss things prior to their internship, I always try to pull out what their goals are. What do they want to do? What is their end game here? And then what's their passion? You know, so me as a person that's going to lead them and help them attain their goal of starting a career within athletic training, I want to know how they can get there and how we can achieve those goals. So I'm always looking for somebody that has goals, somebody that's willing to set goals, somebody that's willing to measure actually the progress on those goals. And then I'm always, I want to know what they are as a person, who they are as a person. Because like Kathy said, you want to be able to communicate with them. You want to understand them as a person. You're not just leading a robot. You're not, you know, joysticking somebody and having them clean the tables and, taping an ankle here and there. You want to be able to understand where the person's coming from and where they want to go. And I think once you figure that stuff out, it becomes a little bit easier to help them and to lead them.
All right. So that's something that we've actually been working on in sports medicine. You said you're looking for someone who sets goals and someone who measures them, right? And so hold that cup back up again, John.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A little Dragonfly Yeti-style, what do they call them, tumblers. So shout out to Dragonfly. Sorry, if you're listening to the audio only, we're obviously streaming this live on YouTube, Facebook Live, and so he kind of got me off guard there. All right. So we've actually been working on setting SMART goals. And, you know, I hear that from Dave Ramsey. It's specific, it's measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. And, you know, I've actually never did that until the last year or two whenever I heard it from either the Dave Ramsey podcast or somewhere else. And I was like, you know what, let me try it. And so I'm not super good about it yet because it hasn't become like a everyday practice or like regular practice, but I do it. And I do it as an example to the students. And some of them have set goals and then that's all they did. You know, they just set them and then never look back at them. Well, since we've done it for 3-6 weeks now, and we're doing it again this 6 weeks, they're at least understanding, you know, hey, it is important. And here you are talking about as a leader, or when you're looking for somebody to be a leader, when you're looking for somebody for responsibility, you want somebody that sets goals and looks at a way to attain those, and which is specifically why I do those SMART goals, whether it's I'm going to get all B's in my class, or I'm going to make sure I put my phone away at 9 o'clock at night so I can be asleep by 10 o'clock every night. Those things, whatever that goal is, you got to figure out, make sure it's attainable and a way to achieve it. So I hope that they're catching this as they're sitting here working on their other projects, that it's not just me saying goal setting is good, but that other people who are developing leaders are saying setting goals are good. So,
yeah, I think that's huge. Goal setting is, I've learned, I think I've always been a person that's goal set, whether I really realize it or not. I've really put in a lot of emphasis over the last year myself to set goals. I mean, I have weekly goals. As goofy as it is, I have a whiteboard hanging in my kitchen, and it's you know, weekly goals. I actually measure them. So my big goal every single day is to wake up before 6:30. So I mark it off Sunday. I didn't wake up, you know, until 9 o'clock. Yesterday, I woke up at 6:45. So I didn't achieve that goal. And then I measure them. So, you know, if I woke up 4 out of 7 days at 6:30, then that was my percentage of the week. And then, do I go up and down? But the thing I found with goal setting, and the thing I found with the interns coming in, the big thing the interns always say is, I'm lacking confidence in my abilities. And that's what I want to get going forward in my profession. I've really found that setting goals, achieving goals, measuring them, that's discipline. That discipline has actually led to more self-confidence, not only within myself, but the people that are around me that are setting goals. Their confidence level just continuously rises because, you know, you're not going to set a big goal. Like, I'm not going to go right on my whiteboard right now, I want to climb Mount Everest on Tuesday of next week. But that's never going to happen. Right. But I can set a small achievable goal of maybe I hit the gym every single day this week. And if I hit that goal, that's an achievable goal. That's something I'm able to do. Now I feel good about myself. My self-confidence goes up a little bit. And I'm able to attack my day. I'm able to attack things that are going to happen throughout the day, whether there's an injury, whether there's, something that may scare me. You know, if somebody falls and breaks their leg, I'm going to feel a little bit more confident within myself to deal with that type of situation.
All right, Kathy, go ahead.
Yep. Sorry about that. A couple of things that y'all discussed I'd like to throw in. So I'm not in a position either, John, where I have overseen student aides, but I had a few years where I was at a single high school. A couple of things that I implemented when I had student aides is when they came to interview, you know, I had a little interview process, and then once we identified them to let them in the program, I actually gave them a very short personality test, just one off the internet, not particularly any one of them, to find out what their strengths were and what their weaknesses were. And people always say, well, you know, the leader's the one that's kind of an A-type personality, and they're the one that's organized. But I found that my goal was, by the time they graduated from our program, is that they left with life skills, okay? Not all of them were going to go into medicine. And that my job was to make sure that I found whatever their strengths were, that they got the confidence from that. You know, some that were very shy may be the best organizers. And while they may not be the one that's going to be the leader of all the other student aides, they may love to file, okay? They may be the one that loves to do the monthly calendar, because we'd have a monthly meeting before the last Wednesday of the month. We would look all together with my student aides, and we'd look at all of the games coming up for the next month. Mm-hmm. And we would assign the games, and everybody took home their own calendar so they would know where they needed to be. Because I figured when they got into a job, that was going to be something that would be expected of them. So, you were expected to show up on time. You know, on time was 15 minutes early or 30 minutes early. So those are the kind of things that we tried to incorporate. And I tried to, you know, meet with them, you know, once a month and say, how do you feel that you are meeting the goals that are set up? And they had personal goals as well. When they got to be a junior, we start looking at what colleges, you know, when are you taking the SAT? And they were responsible for this. You know, you're working on your academic resume, your letters of recommendation, because they gained their confidence from what their expectations were going to be. So I found it was very helpful to figure out what their personality was, because most of them did not know. And it led to whatever their career was going to be.
Yeah, I think you kind of touched on finding people's strengths. What are people good at? You know, not everybody's going to be strong in category A, B, and C, but if they're good in category B, let's put that person in that category. Let's put that person to that task where they're going to achieve the most out of themselves. So it is, like you said earlier, finding out people's who they are, what their personalities are, and then finding out their strengths and placing them in the places where they're going to succeed.
I'd like to add a leadership book. I'm a favorite of John Maxwell. He writes quite a few leadership books. And, you know, for the students that I had that, you know, had a little bit of difficulty and were very shy, I always had them read How to Win Friends and Influence People. Mm-hmm. It's a time-tested book, and, you know, they have it in every library, and I think it's still true today from when it was written.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys, we've kind of talked about setting goals and building confidence. How do we go about specifically building that leader? So I have a junior that I really want to take on some leadership role. Maybe I want her to be responsible for assigning or creating the practice schedule and communicating with that with the kids. Or I want her to be responsible for making sure that everyone is on the same page as far as clothes and being on time. How do I develop those skills within them rather than how do I specifically develop that?
For me, it's setting expectations. Kathy, I just kind of mentioned it earlier. You, when you meet with somebody, you let them know what is expected out of them. When I have my interns come in, when they start doing like site visits, and then when we do go through the interview process, I hand them a sheet. I say, this is what I'm expecting of you every single day. This is what I'm expecting you day one, so that they're not coming in kind of like, well, what am I supposed to be learning? What should I know? What shouldn't I know? But then you just keep things simple as well. So you don't put a big task ahead of them where you're just going to say, set up the field. You know, you want to, I hate saying this word a little bit, but micromanage for a quick moment before you let them go. Every once in a while you need to, but micromanaging in itself can kill leadership styles within people. So, but it's setting expectations. It's once again, it's a small type of goal setting. And then you have that person go after it. And then you just, if there's things that need to be corrected or if there's things that you didn't like about it, then you just meet with them afterwards and you discuss it. It's good to make mistakes. So
I think you also use the resources of the other athletic trainers here in the district. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of work on the front end, and I think it's a matter of checklist. You know, you may have certain expectations of how you want it set up. And you may have to have a checkoff sheet that's laminated. These are the five things that need to be done for this task. And then you hand it to the one you want it done. And when she can use a dry erase, and when she checks it off, pardon me, that's one way to do it. And that, you know, that will be a task that she will need in life, as I keep saying. The other thing is, I think you start as freshmen. These are freshman things that need to be learned by the end of your year. You incorporate it in their student aid class. By a sophomore year, these are things that we need for you to achieve. That goes back to what John was saying about goal setting. And you will see that the leaders will rise to the top. And if you see someone falling behind, then you meet with them and say, you know, I see that this is kind of a difficulty for you. Is it the number of steps, or do we need to break the steps down farther? You know, find out what it is, because we have some that may need a little bit more steps involved. You know, collecting clothes may not be her strong suit. Her strong suit may be, like I said, filing. Her strong suit may be organizing something else. But I think you have to have the steps in place, especially with the this generation that we're dealing with, either college or high school, that are not used to following step by step. It's too easy to put it in your phone and it tells you where to go. You don't have to follow directions. You know what I mean? So I think it's some of them. You're going to have to put some of those in place and make the directions for them.
All right. So we keep coming back to this as I've been talking about student programs, is consistency, setting the expectations at the beginning. You have that parent meeting, and Kathy, you said you had a meeting every month with them to kind of check and make sure everybody's on the right track. When I was talking with Alan, they actually said that at the end of every practice day, they had a meeting. They're real quick. All right, hey guys, make sure you're wearing this tomorrow. We have a game. Or, hey, you guys really did a great job setting up or taking care of the situation, or you guys really blew it today. And they have it there where they have at the end of every day, and then they have like a weekly kind of a bigger meeting. And again, I've admitted it before, I think it's a lack of focus on my part that our program is not at a level the way I want it to be. And so I know that I need to look at that And then Bill, he said just today or yesterday, he said, you know, hey, we need to have a meeting here in the next month or so with the kids to reaffirm our expectations as far as clothing and being at games. And so that's good, because I think we're both realizing, hey, we need to lead this rather than just to let it happen. So
a very good resource is Remind. Have all the the kids set up a Remind 101. I don't know what it's called now, mm-hmm. but it's a one-way communication from you to the students. So if you want them to wear green polos on this day, you can send that, and it's one way. So they're not communicating back to you. If you have a meeting coming up, you send the reminder of the meeting, okay?
So it's called Remind.com, and actually they've kind of upped their game. Mm-hmm. So students, I actually use it all the time here, and okay. students can text me back through the Remind app.
Okay.
And so, you know, I can text, and everything stays in that app. And so it's easier that way. But yeah, Remind.com is a good tool. But
I think the whole thing about a student aid or interns is they want to feel a sense of belonging, okay? And the more that you have that it's a community event, I mean, they feel a community and they feel that they have a place, and that gratitude is very, very important. Gratitude is very important. So whenever you do have a meeting, you have to make a correction or whatever else, you have to show your gratitude, like John, and I think that was a wonderful example. You know, you thank them. They don't have to be here. It's a very thankless job. We were all there. We all did that. And I really appreciate the coaches that also thank our students when they work, because they understand that what they do is you know, we couldn't do it without them, we know. Mm-hmm. But I'm always appreciative, and I always try to thank the students that come and help us.
So some of the ways that I know that we've said thank you is, like, you know, sometimes for pregame meal before the varsity football game when we're all together, you know, I'll say, all right, well, we'll buy your food this time, that kind of thing. And, you know, I tried to say, hey, thanks for being here, and had those individual moments where, hey, you know, Jessica, I'm glad you're part of our team this year. I really appreciate the way you work hard and you're always here doing what you're supposed to do, that kind of thing. So I believe that I've implemented that. I don't know that I've implemented it systematically or consistently. So.
And that's okay. You don't have to do it every single time. You know, if you do, it almost comes off robotic, and then it has the opposite effect. So, you know, a lot of these things have to come from the heart. And, you know, if you forget it, that's okay. But, you know, if you're able to do it more often, but not robotic, that's the key to it.
John, is there certain things when you're looking at a person, one of your interns, that you say this person has no chance at being a leader?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about this question. I remember I recommended somebody for an athletic training program a couple years ago, and it was almost the opposite of the question you're asking me. But the program director had asked me, what are your thoughts on this person? And I said, you know, this person, and I think you guys may get it, but this person just has it. It's you have to have an it in athletic training. I have no idea how to define the it of what athletic training is. Maybe it's passion. Maybe it's, you know, somebody that wants to be there. But there's definitely an it that you're looking for. And you find that through communicating with them. You talk to them, you interview them, you find out what they want to do, where they want to be in their career, what they want to gain out of the internship site. And it gets pretty easy. I know I've been doing this for about 8 years now with an intern, and you find the guys, or find not guys, I'm sorry, you find the people who want to be there for the right reasons. And that's part of the it. So when you, on the opposite, to get back to the question, you're looking for somebody, or if they don't have that it, that's somebody I really don't want to be part of my program. I'm turning out on a good year for athletic trainers that are applying. They're passing their exam. They're starting their career, and I want them to be a reflection of who I am. And you know, I'm not saying I'm a perfect person. God no. But I want to make sure that the people that are going out and being athletic trainers and have come through my program, they have that it. So if they don't, they're probably not going to make it in my program. They're probably not even going to be asked to come and be an intern. So
I think this goes back to what John said about goal setting. I think if you could somehow implement that at the beginning of the year, is, you know, before you start for football, volleyball start, cross country, sit down with each of your of student aides and set some goals with them. Mm-hmm. Goals can be grades, goals can be something to achieve in the program here, things to learn at the end of the year, you go over their goals again. And if they haven't reached the expectations of themselves and of you, then you visit with them about it. You know, why haven't you reached these goals? And sometimes they end up cutting themselves. You know, ask them, where do you see yourself in our program? You know, what do you feel like you have contributed? And when they do a little looking inside, I think that they can see that, you know. And sometimes it's external forces as well, you know. Yeah. They may want to do it, but they have to work it. They have to help at home with the job. Or they really have a love of FFA and they want to show an animal or whatever it is. And they just didn't have the heart to tell you that they want to, you know, do something else. So I think that's where your one-on-one conferences, if you have time to do that with them, and you have, I don't want to say documentation, but when they see it in black and white where they've set goals and they haven't been able to meet it, or I think that really does help them make that decision themselves.
Yeah, I'm lucky in a way where I actually have to do that every 4 weeks with our interns, and it's part of their internship program. So I have to do a form online, but I take it a step further, and I will actually do the form online while they're sitting in my office, and I'll discuss it. Hey, you're not hitting excellent on this one. That's good. We're working towards something else better here. Your evaluation skills on whatever aren't up to par where I think they should be. This is what we can work on. So I you know, have to be a little bit more frank. It hurts sometimes, but you know, you want these people to achieve their goals, and you want them to be good athletic trainers. So you have to be a little bit more frank sometimes than you want to be. But at the end of it, it's going to really help everybody.
I have a lot of reason for this not to work for me this year, but they're all just excuses. Like, you know, we had Hurricane Harvey's, we had stuff disrupted. Bill's father died, and he was probably gone about like 6 weeks out of the first semester between his, you know, dad being in the hospital and then ended up dying, and then the hurricane flooding his house. And so we really haven't been like on the same page the whole first semester, but it didn't start at this year, this semester. And so I know other people are in different situations, but I'm owning the lack of leadership here on me and saying these other things that I could be looking at and blaming. It's not what the problem is. I need to set up those regular meetings. I need to have the intentional one-on-one conversations with students. And I feel like I ask them, you know, hey, what do you plan to do after high school, that kind of thing. But maybe the personality tests are something I can implement. We need to get back to the expectations. I know Bubba Wilson has talked before about, he has like a 12-step program. There's like three different levels for each of the 4 years, or maybe it was four levels for each for the 3 years. You're a student athletic trainer, something like that. And if you don't achieve this, if you can't meet these standards, you can't advance to the next, and you can't advance to the next and the next. And by the time you're a sophomore, if you haven't met, you know, stages one, two, and three, or whatever it is, then you can't move on to my program. You know, I have a link to that there on the website. I know that Allen ISD has their handbook online that, you know, we could download and look at and use as a reference. But what other things, Kathy, do you think that maybe I should avoid if I'm looking for a leader, or I should say, hey, I don't think this person has it?
I would say that even if they leave your program, you want to leave them with a positive message. And I don't want to say that they're not a leader. They are not a good fit for athletic training. And I think that the way that you leave them is they're going to be good at something. And I think that the positive reinforces are very important. You know, I kind of learned this as being a parent. You know, they may not know what they want to do, okay? How many people have gone to college and changed their majors? The important thing is is if they stay in your program or they don't stay in your program, they need to know that you cared. Because the decisions that they're making and you're helping them make are going to make a big deal later on down the line. So if you find that they really are not a good fit for your program, you know, do what you can. Work with your counselors and just say, do you see any place else this kid could go? Okay. It's all about, at the end of the day, you know, some kids are just not going to work out for whatever reason it is. Just, you know, try to, you know, unless it's a discipline issue or some other issue that, you know, is beyond your control, try to find a way, because in these big high schools that we're working in, you don't want them to get lost in the system. You know, just before they're out the door, say, is there anything else that you could want to be involved in? And as athletic trainers, we know everybody, you know, in the schools and other things. Make sure that they find some place to land if you can. That would be my only thing that you can help them do, because it may be just stuff beyond your control.
All right. John, what else do you got about developing leaders?
You know, I think we're kind of saying it, you know, the leaders are going to be people who care the most. You know, Kathy had just kind of talked about if somebody moves through a program and they're not going to be there at the end of it, you're finding a place where they're going to fit and be there. You know, I guess to go back to the earlier question, what I'm looking for in athlete or interns is somebody who cares. I guess maybe the care part is the it. But we're in a career, we're in a profession that every single day we have to provide care. And the ones that who don't typically don't last that long, you know, or can't keep up with the need of giving care every single day. You know, you ask who's a really good athletic trainer that you work with, and you try to find why they're a good athletic trainer. You know, it's for me, it's somebody who cares and somebody who will always be there for their student athletes and for their community. You know, hopefully that's something I fit into that category. So, you know, to go back to what you were saying on your part, you know, what you're looking for, I think you kind of said it, you're taking ownership of it. That's huge. If you're not blaming anybody else other than yourself, that's a big step forward in creating and changing some of those aspects. And then, you know, you don't have to wait to do something. You can start it right now. You can do it right now. I think a lot of people will always worry about, well, you know, I want to change something. And I think this something's going to be really good for our program or for us. But you know what? I'm going to implement it in about 4 weeks. Well, why? You know, sometimes you have to work things out. But if you know why you're doing it, there's absolutely no reason not to start it right then and now. You know, I talked about goal setting earlier, you know, with myself. I think everybody does it with diet. I'm going to start on Monday. Diet starts Monday. Well, hell, let's start it on Saturday. Let's start it on Friday. There's definitely no reason to do those things absolutely right now, right then and there.
I think other what you can do is when you and Bill have time to meet with your kids is find out what they like about your program. I know you've been beating yourself up. I mean, it's been a tough toll for everybody around here. Find out what they like about your program and then ask the hard question. What can you do? Ask them, you know, what they feel you and Bill can do to improve the program. And it may be eye-opening. They may say, there's nothing. You know, they may say, we want more meetings, or we may, you know, we want more pizza. But I think that you know, they have an ownership in this program. And when you ask what they would like for y'all to improve, some of it you may not be able to do, but there may be one little thing that you and Bill could do that could make their lives a whole lot easier. And I think it's always a give and take within reason. And it comes back to what John said. It comes back to ownership, comes back to goals. And, you know, these kids will do anything for us. They work very hard. But I think that's something that occasionally you need to ask, you know, what will make it easier?
That's a great trait of a leader, somebody who listens to those below them, their subordinates. If you're not listening to the people you work with that are below you, whether it's ideas, whether it's, you know, questions, answers to certain topics, a leader, like we had talked about right in the beginning, leader is always, being a leader is a practice. So you're always going to learn from the people that are under you and around you. So if you're not asking them, like Kathy said, what can we do to make things better? Then you're probably not going to get things better. You have to find out the people you work with and go from there.
And that's what you want your senior student aides to be, is, you know, you can teach it to somebody and then they can do it, but then they need to be able to teach somebody else. So for your life to be easier, then you want your senior student trainers to be able to teach them the skills, setting up the fields, handing out the uniforms and whatever else, makes your life a little bit easier. And that's what I feel you're asking us, is how you get that set up. Well, it has to start somewhere. You identify those kids, find out what they can do, and then it's one less thing you have to do.
Yeah, I always develop them for if one day I can't show up, you have to take the lead. Mm-hmm. And there's been instances, you know, like a family issue or I've gotten sick or whatever. If I'm not doing my part as a leader, then they're not going to be able to step up and take over. You know, there's going to be days, there's absolutely every single day, there's 1,000 things going on. Maybe I send an intern out to watch wrestling and I'm over in the basketball gym or I'm doing rehab and something goes on in the gym that they're managing. then they have to be able to step up and take lead of an injury evaluation, an emergency action plan, things like that. Or like I said, if I'm not there, you know, or if I can't show up, that next person has to be able to step up into that position of a leader. And that's my job as the person directing them, that I want to be able to create a person that at any given moment, they're going to be able to take over.
All right. We've all had some issues where we failed at being a leader. Tell me about one of the times where you feel like you've really just missed the boat. Whoever's got the answer first.
I don't have an answer. I'm pretty good.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No, Kathy, you can go.
There are so many. Where do I start? I think the issue is when you don't allow, and this really came from the parenting as well, but, you know, parenting kind of covers over, because yeah, I've spent my entire career at the high school level, is you have to allow them to fail, okay? Not when there's a life on the line, but the only way that any of us have ever learned is when we failed. And I think that my leadership is you cannot micromanage too much, okay? If you set a task for a student, and I know, John, that we're working in two different age groups here, but if you set expectations and you have to allow them to try to achieve a task. I know sometimes we get in a hurry. We have, as you know, a million things going on. You have to allow them to try to succeed on their own. You can't interrupt their process, because if they never learn to fail, they will never learn to succeed. I know that's not a specific thing, but that was the biggest thing, because that was a parenting thing as all, is because, you know, they're only with us for 4 years or 3 years, and then we send them off to college. And I tried to use that with my student aides. I use it with my kids, is whether it was, I have a problem in a class. Oh, I'm not going to go with you. You go talk to the teacher yourself, because they're going to be on their own. So you have to allow them to learn to fail, and then they will learn to succeed. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, ma'am.
I think the times that I've failed as a leader, as a person, are the times that my character has faltered, where I haven't made the right decisions. I've made 1,000 stupid decisions for every good decision I've made. And to realize that, it has been a big turning point in my life. But I think whenever you make the easy wrong, it's harder to turn things around and not be a good leader. Making the hard rights is always the thing that you're going to be tasked with. We say it every day, you know, when we're dealing with an injury and I want to get this kid out and play, but you know, the easy wrong is to let that kid go. The hard right is to hold them back and take the hard questions from mom and dad, from the coach, and why isn't this kid playing? Why isn't he should be back? You know, it's just a concussion. He should be back on the field in a week. You know, the hard rights are always the hard thing to do. Once you're able to manage those things and to do those and to answer those questions without any doubt, you know, that's when you're going to be able to elevate your level of competence and to be a really good leader. You know, so for me, it's always been managing my character, you know, and like I said, I made 1,000 dumb decisions for every good decision I made. So hopefully I'm making less now, but I think my ratio is still about 1,000 to 1.
Consistency there. There's a consistency.
Correct.
It's easy to forget that you're always, always in a role model position. I mean, if you're in the community, if you're in your class, if you're on the sidelines, you know, they are going to listen to what you say, but they're always going to see how you act. And we have to remember that.
All right. Kathy, you mentioned how to win friends and influence people. You said that is by John Maxwell?
No.
Carnegie.
I'm sorry?
Dale Carnegie.
Yeah, it's by Dan Carnegie. But John Maxwell has written quite a few leadership books.
Is there a specific one that you like, or just almost anything by him about leadership?
Actually, anything he writes is really good. I'll be honest with you.
If you're going to read one book about leadership, what's it going to be?
Oh, man. Easy question. I've purchased this book 3 times already, which is absolutely outrageous, I think. Extreme Ownership, Jocko Willink, Leif Babin. It's written by 2 Navy SEALs. The great part about the book is they don't talk about their experience in the war. They say, hey, this kind of happened. this is what we, how we dealt with it, and then how do you apply that principle in your day-to-day life? They deal a little bit more with the business world, but I think what I found reading their book, what I found reading a couple other books, like I said, Hal Moore's book, you're able to take those amplified life experiences and put them into athletics, because a lot of times we're seeing life amplified too. You know, things are happening a lot faster in our world than maybe a doctor's office. But Extreme Ownership, man, great, great book. I've lent it out a handful of times. There's one that sits on my desk. There's one that is, if you ever saw this book, I wish I would have brought it home with me. I've got so many sticky notes, so many highlighter, so many pages folded over. It looks, I can't even explain what it looks like. It's just so overgrown with notes and tabs and writings on the side and on the side of the book. And but I have taken so much out of that book over the last couple of years that has really, I think, elevated my leadership style within athletic training, but it's also elevated my my discipline within who I am as a person, and set my character a little bit more straightforward. One of the lead authors, Jocko, he has a great, absolutely great podcast, and you can listen to it. You know, whenever you're feeling down or you need a little couple pointers, you know, I listen to it every single day almost that it's on. So
what's that podcast?
It's called the Jocko Podcast.
All right. So we got Extreme Ownership there. That's what John's recommendation. You got Laws of Leadership from John Maxwell that Kathy likes. Also, How to Win Friends and Influence People is good for students to read. I would say the book that I read that was kind of about leadership that has kind of most stuck with me is Who Moved My Cheese? Mm-hmm. It's like the 1 minute manager or whatever. And so I've said that to my students here a lot is they're like, hey, I can't be at practice. I'm like, okay, so what are you going to do about it? Hey, this thing's broke. Well, what are you going to do about it? Right. So tell me when you have a solution and then we'll work through it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not excellent. And again, I haven't necessarily set those expectations, but it is one thing that I've learned, you know, okay, well, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Instead of just, well, here, let me fix every problem for you. What are you going to do about it? Then they're failing, they're trying something, and maybe whatever they come up with is better than what I was going to do anyways. But then at least they learn and they remember. So Kathy, John, you guys got anything else about developing student leaders that we haven't covered?
I've got, I had to go and work early yesterday for a meeting, and then I ended up doing a little bit more podcast prep for here. I took two whiteboards full of notes, and I can send you those pictures. It's just a lot of quotes, but a lot of principles, things like that. And my interns walked in and they probably wanted to turn around and walk out because it looked like the writings of a madman. But I've got a ton of notes. And we had touched on it right off the get-go. To be a leader, you got to be a lifelong learner. You got to be willing to understand that you're going to fail and you got to take those lessons and go forward. So
I think as a leader, as an athletic trainer, is you have to be consistent. Just like as a parent, you got to be consistent, you got to be fair, and you have to project that with your student aides. If they think you're being fair and you're being consistent and the standard is the same for everybody, well, that's really half the battle. As you said, you know, a student showed up and they said they're either going to be late or they couldn't be there. It has to be the same consequence for everyone. That's really, like I said, a lot of the battle is that's all they ask for, and they, you know, encouragement and goal setting. It's the same thing as for us. You know, you want your supervisor to be fair with you. So, you know, it's just kind of a mini version of what you expect. Kind of make it for them as well. Because, like I said, we are training them for life.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Sarah and I have to remember each day is that we're trying to produce godly, successful adults. We're not trying to create good kids who can behave well at home, but we're trying to produce the next generation of men. Because, you know, we have three boys, so that's one thing we have to remember. We're looking at the long term and then working back from there, because it's really easy to micromanage to, no, you didn't sweep right here, let me sweep it for you, kind of thing. No, buddy, you didn't do it. Go fix it again. All right. So definitely good stuff. John, send me those pictures. I may even put them as the cover photo here for this podcast. Again, this one is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/student-leaders. They've recommended a couple books. Definitely good leadership, but it's also good for us to step back and look at look at how we've been leading or how we've been led, and to remember that. So again, if nothing else, then as you're listening to this podcast, think about some of the leaders that you liked and the things that they did that really positively impacted you. So, John, best way to get a hold of you is Twitter, which is John Seiko 3.
No, it's just John Seiko. So JohnCiecko. That's my Twitter, and feel free to shoot me a message or read through. Nothing to hide.
All right. So I have links to that there. John Seiko on Twitter. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/studentleaders. I am Jeremy Jackson, Mr. Jeremy Jackson on Twitter. Kathy is on Kathy, SUPAK, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/studentleaders. For Jeremy, John, Kathy, that is a wrap.